Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 11 reads this way. It says, "Now all things happened unto them for ensamples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come into your house. And Lord, we ask for the blessing of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds into your truths. And Lord, that we might worship you in truth and spirit tonight. Lord, that you might be exalted and lifted up in our hearts and minds and our lives. And Lord, that the world might see that there is a Savior that has paid the price for eternal life for all who will believe and receive you. Bless, Lord, and may we be found faithful when you return. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this evening is Written for Our Admonition. Written for Our Admonition. An admonition is an act or action of admonishing, authoritative counsel, or warning. Take it either way. It's an action of admonishing, or it's also an authoritative counsel or warning. And we would say God holds the authority, would we not? And if we'll follow his authority, we'll be blessed. There's no doubt about it. And we'll be led into the truths. And then I want to give you another thought that we'll look at this evening. First of all, I want to remind you about this. Let me ask you, is our God the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's an important truth. Because if he doesn't change, then we can always count on his word. Because his word doesn't change. The world is changing, but God never changes. And the world, unfortunately, it's not going to get better without God. It never will. One day there's coming a change, amen, where all things will be made right. But that will be God's work, not the world's work. And I want to remind you about this. Do you remember back in the Gospel of John, he was talking to the woman at the well. And the Lord was talking about this living water. Are you familiar with that? And so remember, keep that thought in mind. Our God's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And then in verse 14 it says, "But whosoever," Jesus was saying to the woman, "whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life." That's the promise of God. So if you've been saved, is that living water inside of you? Amen. That living water is inside of you. Another case in point, remember when the Lord told people that were following him, "Unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you don't have any part in the kingdom of heaven." It does, and many of his disciples, it says, didn't walk with him from that point on. And then he looked to his 12 disciples and said, will you also go away? And what did they say? "To whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of life." Listen, evolution doesn't offer me anything. Atheism doesn't offer me anything. Agnosticism doesn't offer me anything. Only Jesus Christ offered me salvation and gave me eternal life. And that you'll find here important here in just a moment. I want to look at three thoughts tonight. Technically, four thoughts. Living water. We want to remember that. Living water. And then we also want to look at really baptized unto Moses. That's really going to be our first point. Baptized unto Moses. And then God was not well pleased. And then take heed. Those are the three thoughts that really that we're going to focus in on. And the living water will have to do a little bit with what we're looking at here in the first portion of this scripture, which was baptized unto Moses. Look at verse 1. "Moreover, brethren." So we know there he's continuing a thought, and he's talking about previously in the previous chapter about running a race or striving for the prize as to not be found without. So God is saying, "I have provided a means and a ways that you can win." Did you know that? Every believer can be a winner because it's the Lord Jesus Christ who is faithful. It's our God who is faithful. So every one of us can be found faithful. Not because of us. If we look to ourselves, we'll never make it. But if we look to our Savior, there's where our hope is at. Amen. So baptized unto Moses. Look at this, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant or without information how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Notice this. And did all eat that same spiritual meat. Remember, my flesh is meat indeed. Didn't Jesus say that? My blood is drink indeed. And what was he talking about? His sacrifice that every believer must partake of. And so he said this. He said, look at verse 2 again. And we're all baptized into Moses and in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat that same spiritual meat and did all drink that same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was who? Isn't that amazing? The rock was Christ. That's important. And they all partook of him. But now listen, so if they partook of him, like you and I partook of him, does that mean they're saved? Yes. Amen? Yeah. If they partook of him, they were saved. But so they were baptized unto Moses. We are baptized unto the Lord Jesus Christ. That Moses was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Was he not? He came unto his own the first time. Did they receive Moses? No, he had to go out in the wilderness for 40 years. Guess what? He married a Gentile bride, right? And his sister wasn't too happy about that, but that's what he did, and that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the scriptures also tell us that he said that another one like unto me, that's who you're going to listen to, that's who you're going to look unto. And of course, that was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. So here was this baptism, and here was this spiritual drink and this spiritual rock that they were standing on. And so this is important. So our God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So how did they get saved? By faith. How did you and I get saved? By faith in the promise of God, right? Okay, now here's a word of warning. And it tells us here that God was not well pleased with them. Look at verse 5. But with many of them, not all of them, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. Why? For they were overthrown in the wilderness. They had participated in the sacrifice of the lamb, and they were freed from Egypt, and they were making their way to enter into the promises of God. God didn't just bring them out to wander around in the wilderness. God brought them out that they might take hold of and take possession of and walk in the promised land. You and I have been also liberated not to be overthrown in the wilderness, but to take hold and walk in and experience the promises of God. Now, this is something that only you and God can talk about. This is something that you are to examine your own life and ask yourself, is the fruit of the Spirit? I'm not saying, are you producing the fruit of the Spirit? I'm asking, the Lord wants us to know if there is the fruit of the Spirit taking place in your life and mine. Only you can answer that. And then if there's a problem, we don't throw in the towel and say, well, I just can't do it. Well, that's not any new news to the Lord. God never expected us to produce the fruit. A lot of people have a hard time with that. A lot of people think, my goodness, is this... Listen, do you know how liberating it is? For example, if you thought you had to do some work and all of a sudden you get there and it's already done. You know, sometimes I've heard people make jokes like, you know, we're doing a job and somebody else just shows up on the job and you're all finished with it. And they say, what do they say? What do they like to say? Oh, I got here just in time, didn't I? It's all done. Amen? And of course, it's a joke. They'd have been there earlier if they could have been there. But that's the way it is with the Lord. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, what did he say about the work? Did he say, you've got to do something about it? No. Do you know what all we have to do is? Listen, tell me if this is not true. We just have to abide. We just have to abide in Christ. Listen, our human nature complicates that, over-engineers it, and begins to MIT it, right? We intellectually look at it and say, well, it must be this. No, it's just simple. Just abide. What does the branch do to abide? Really, not one thing. The trunk and the tree does everything. The branch just bears the fruit. Listen, if we're not careful, we'll miss the blessing of God in resting in the Lord. That's what it means to rest. That's why Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. My burden's light. And if your burden's not light, spiritually speaking, God's not a liar. So if he says it's light and it's not light, then there's a problem. And the problem is with us. It's the way it is. People are afraid, really, a lot of times people are afraid to have the idea that God's going to do something for them and God's going to work through them. It's not that no work takes place. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the work of God. And so, listen, here's what happens. Let me tell you. If you think you've got to do something and you're not understanding that God is wanting to do things through us, we're going to find out that as we lift up our hands to touch the work, God's not going to bless it. God's not going to allow you and I to say, boy, am I good. Man, oh man, look at me. I don't do this and I do this. God's not going to take that for 1 second. I mean, let's just say the Lord blessed every effort you made. And you took it as you doing it. Man, our heads would be so big we wouldn't be able to get in through those double doors. It just wouldn't work. So God is wanting us to, and listen, our nature wants to pick up the work and pick up the work and do it because we love God, because he saved us. But what may also happen, and what has happened, is we look at the work, we try to do the work, we fail at the work because it's God's work and we don't let him do the work. And then we come to the place where we say, I can't do it, and that's it, and we give up. Still a child of God. Still a child of God because of the grace and mercy of God. Because his gift is exactly that. He paid for it all. He's not asking us to touch it. We would only mess it up with our sin nature. God, listen, still our righteousness, see, it's not our righteousness, it's God's righteousness that we need to look to. Because our righteousness, you may find this hard to believe, is still as filthy rags. Because our nature is self-centered and selfish. Don't raise your hand. Do you ever get upset? Do you ever get upset? That's not the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ says, deny yourself. If we get upset, there's the battle, the unseen battle. That's who we need to deal with right there, the self. And Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, what do you have to do? Deny self. So a good prayer would be, I think we get so busy about asking God for the temporal things, we forget about the spiritual things. God, I need you to show me how to abide and rest in you. Lord, I need to understand. Help me to understand that this is your work that you want to do in and through my life. And if at least we're asking, right? That's an important thing to do. If we don't ask, and in fact, if we don't understand that, we'll never ask the Lord. But let's look at what happened here historically to our forefathers, to the ones that ran the race before us. Again, verse 5, but with many of them, again, not all, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6, now these things, all these different things that happened, were our examples to the intent, the purpose, what it was for. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Did you see that? That we should not lust. Listen, we ought to call what God calls evil, evil. We make a big mistake. You remember King Saul? When he had fallen out with God. At the very beginning of his ministry, he cast out all the witches. And then what does he do at the end of his life? He goes to consort a witch, the witch of Endor. And he disguised himself. Saul is asking the witch to call up Samuel. Oh, listen, she says, I can't do that because, see, Saul, he said it would that he was going to destroy all the witches, and you'll bring injury upon me. And Saul said this. King Saul said, "Oh, that won't be to you. What? It may be that he meant that he's not going to do anything, but I promise you, and before God, she's going to suffer punishment." He had no right, is what I'm trying to say, to tell her that nothing was going to nothing bad was going to happen to her. And sometimes if we're not careful, we delve into things and we think, well, nothing bad's going to happen here. And we make a grave mistake because is God mocked? He says, be not deceived. Your sins will find you out. All right. So watch this here. So verse 6, now these things were our examples to the intent. We should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters. He's going to list some of them. Idolaters. Don't put things in front of God, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Did you see that? Listen. Don't be idolaters. Well, listen. Eating and drinking and playing. Oh my goodness. I'm not saying sports are bad. But do you remember how Rome fell? When Rome fell, what was taking place? They were playing games in the Colosseum while Rome was falling apart. Listen, our nation, spiritually speaking and physically, believe it or not, is falling apart. It's falling apart. Where should we be? My daughter was kind of doing some research here on George Washington. And come to find out there was a lot of upheaval and conspiring, even against George Washington as a general. There were other higher ups that had the Ivy League education. George Washington didn't have that. He was not really a well-educated man and as educated as some of these other people in the military ranks. And so some of these military high uppity mucks there were conspiring, writing letters to each other, saying things about George Washington, how they might get rid of him. And he was just a very quiet man. And God used him in a great and mighty way. And one time, one of these fellows was writing the letter to another friend of his. And by mistake, the letter gets sent to George Washington. So he reads this letter that he thought was addressed to himself. And it was talking about their conspiracy to overthrow him. And he kindly put it back in the envelope, sent it to the one it was supposed to go to, and wrote on there apologizing. He thought it was his letter, and he signed his name George Washington. No more was said about that conspiracy. He didn't do a thing. God took care of that. But here's another testimony. They said that he would get up at 4 a.m. and spend time in prayer until he was called for breakfast. He'd get up at 4 a.m. and pray. You know all these pictures that you see about him praying? Be careful, listen, be careful about what you see on a secular, worldly channel that professes to be historical. Be careful what you hear. And look at the documents and make sure that they are so. Because the world and the devil will undermine all godly examples that we might be overthrown in our faith as well. There are people that stood for God and were faithful. And did they lie about the Lord? We be not born of fornication. That's what they said to the Lord Jesus Christ. They were saying that Joseph and Mary's child, Jesus, was born out of wedlock. Called him a wine bibber. Called the Lord all different kinds of words, because he lived godly. And Jesus said this, hold on, if the world hated me, it will hate you. But don't let that move you. Let the Holy Spirit move you. And so as you look into the history, you'll find out that he was just a very quiet gentleman that God used in a great and mighty way. Didn't look to himself. And when he left the presidency, after he was elected, and by the way, he did not want the presidency. In fact, they wanted to make him a king, if you remember your history. And he said, no, we're just moving backwards there. And so there's a lot to be said about those who will live godly. And here's the news, ready? God wants to find some godly people today. And what does that mean? People that will seek the Lord. People that will seek God. That's what we need more than anything. Listen, there are a lot of so-called, and when I say conservative, let me just tell you, conserving the truth. Because there's conservative communists that want to conserve communism. There's conservative socialists that want to conserve socialism. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about conserving the truth. And there's a lot of news out there that people are upset about. But listen, it troubles me. Listen, when you don't see the Spirit of Christ coupled with it, see, that's the problem. You listen to conservative people trying to tell you what's going on, and you can't listen to it for very long because the filth comes flying out. I don't need them to use expletives to tell me the news. What you're revealing is that you don't have an ounce of God in you that would cause shame in your heart and mind to speak like that. So forget about this movement. That's not what we need. What we need is God's people to humble themselves and turn back to God and say, oh, God, forgive us. Not that I'm just all right just like I am. Because how we should be is the way that God says that we ought to be as his children and children of the light that brings light into the dark world. And until God's people come to that place to where they're going to commit at least 10 minutes a day and asking God to forgive us and to say, oh God, that I might be the vessel that you've created me to be, that your will might, that I might not be so caught up in everything that's going on in the world, and that I might get my eyes on the Lord personally and say, oh God, your will for my life fulfilled. I want to yield myself that you will have your way, not how I feel and how I think. Because how I feel and how I think, I got news for you, will excuse sin. It will excuse sin. Everybody's doing it. It's okay. It's not that big of a deal. Then tell me which way our country's headed in. Because the Bible says that when the gospel's being preached, the world gets flipped upside down. So there's a problem. And I've got news for you. I don't have the answer. But God does. But God does. And so, what, you know what my job is? To point you to the Lord. Am I pointing you to the Lord tonight? That's my job. Amen. To the Lord. He's the one that has the answers. But we've got to be serious. And we've got to realize that there's a lot at stake. We are on the precipice of going overboard and becoming something we've never seen before in a negative way as a country, as a people. But wait a minute. Do you know this? Listen. In spite of what happens to our country, you and I can be found faithful. You and I can walk in the joy of the Lord. Because I want to remind you, Paul, the Apostle Paul, was preaching and going through, serving the Lord under Nero, the emperor, who was a crazy man. Am I allowed to say that tonight? He's a crazy man. Are we crazy? Are we crazy? As a nation, are we crazy? As a nation, my goodness. That word just offends me. We'll just take it. What? What planet did that come from? Really? A group of people have gotten together and says, you can't. Is that what our country was founded upon? You know why? Because God was at the helm one time. Or let me just say this. People that were at the helm were seeking God. Not today. Not today. Pray for our leaders. More importantly, pray for yourself to be right with God. To be walking in his will. It's not, listen, right where you're at, we have a privilege and a responsibility to walk faithfully by his grace and his mercy, if we'll have it. All right, very quickly, watch this. So he says, verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. 23,000 in one day. Boom. God judged his people. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. And listen, we may not be destroyed physically by the serpent, but we can be destroyed spiritually to where we don't do anything for the Lord. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. He's listing the things that got them in trouble and were destroyed of the destroyer. They murmured. So here we see that God was not well pleased with them. And then he gives a word of warning and he says, take heed. Look at verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples. And notice, and they are written for our admonition. This is where we get our title tonight. And remember, the admonition is an act or action of admonishing or an authoritative counsel or warning. And that's what God's giving. They are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. And then he says this, listen, this is the climax of the truth here that God wants us to see. The pinnacle of the truth right here. The important understanding. Ready? When you consider your own life, consider this truth here and don't look at the problem, don't look at the trial, don't look at the temptation, look at the truth. So watch this, ready? Verse 13, there hath no temptation, not one, taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful. Do you know why you're here tonight? Because of the faithfulness of God. God's faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will, not maybe, he will, with the temptation, also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. That means you'll have the victory over it because of his grace. Do you believe that tonight? It has to be him. It has to be him. We have to be conscientiously thinking, Lord, all I have to do is abide in you. You will overthrow this in my life. Listen, you are faithful. Is that not what the Bible said? God is faithful. Right there in verse 13. God is faithful. I have it in parentheses. But God is faithful. So I'm struggling with this. But God is faithful. I'm tempted by this. But God is faithful. I'm afraid of this. But God is faithful. Is he faithful? And so, Lord, I walk in that truth and walk away. You've made the way. I'm walking away from the temptation. I'm going to do something that you're going to lead me into. I'm going to sing spiritual songs to you. I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to call upon you and walk with you. And he makes the way out. And then he says this, verse 14, wherefore, my dearly beloved. Isn't that good? It's how he thinks of us. Flee from idolatry. He says, I speak unto wise men. Judge ye what I say. You know what he's saying? Judge, is it coming from the Lord? Is that in the canon of Scripture? Was it meant for the believers in the day of Paul during the time of Corinthians? Is it meant for you and I today? So these things have been written for our admonition. Why? That we would be found faithful. We have to ask God to make these things real. That we don't just read words on a page. Yeah, I know what that says. No, I'm experiencing what that says. God is working that in my life. That's what he wants to do. God doesn't just want a bunch of head knowledge. He wants us by experience to step out of the boat, Peter, and come unto me and watch it work. Don't look at the storms. Keep your eye on the Lord, and he gets us through the storm. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word, the wisdom and understanding that it brings to us. And Lord, I pray that you would give us the faith to understand and open up our hearts and minds to see, Lord, the truths that you've given to us, the promises that are already ours. We don't have to have a special prayer session, Lord. We just need you to help us to believe, Lord. As the fellow said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that we would walk in your truth, and that the world might see that there is a God that changes lives, not just gives a bunch of people a bunch of words to say, but that he does a work that can be seen in the lives of his children. Bless the rest of the evening, for we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.